Wednesday, July the 29th. Royal wedding day. How proud I am to be English. Foreigners must be as sick as pigs. We truly lead the world when it comes to pageantry. I must admit to having tears in my eyes when I saw all the Cockneys who had stood since dawn, cheering heartily all the rich, well-dressed, famous people going by in carriages and Rolls-Royces. Grandma and Bert Baxter came to our house to watch the wedding, because we have got a 24-inch colour. They got on all right at first, but then Bert remembered he was a communist and started saying anti-royalist things like the idle rich and parasites, so Grandma sent him back to the Sing's Colour portable. Prince Charles looked quite handsome, in spite of his ears. His brother is dead good-looking. It's a shame they couldn't have swapped heads just for the day. Lady Diana melted my heartstrings in her dirty white dress. She even helped an old man up the aisle. I thought it was very kind of her considering it was her wedding day. Loads of dead famous people were there. Nancy Reagan, Spike Milligan, Mark Phillips, etc., etc. The Queen looked a bit jealous. I expect it was because people weren't looking at her for a change. The Prince had remembered to take the price ticket off his shoes, so that was one worry off my mind. When the Prince and Di exchanged rings, my grandma started to cry. She hadn't brought her handkerchief, so I went upstairs to get the spare toilet roll. When I came downstairs, they were married, so I missed the historic moment of their marriage. I made a cup of tea during all the boring musical interval, but I was back in time to see that Kiwi woman singing. She has certainly got a good pair of lungs on her. Grandma and I were just settling down to watch the happy couple's triumphant ride back to the palace when there was a loud banging on the front door. We ignored it, so my father was forced to get out of bed and open the door. Bert and Mr. and Mrs. Singh and all the little Singhs came in asking for sanctuary. Their telly had broken down. My grandma tightened her lips. She is not keen on black, brown, yellow, Irish, Jewish or foreign people. My father let them all in, then took Grandma home in the car. The Singhs and Bert gathered round the television talking in Hindi. Mrs. Singh handed round some little Cornish pasties. I ate one of them and had to drink a gallon of water. I thought my mouth had caught fire. They were not Cornish pasties. We watched television until the happy couple left Victoria Station on a very strange-looking train. Bert said it was only strange-looking because it was clean. Mrs. O'Leary came in and asked if she could borrow our old chairs for the street party. In my father's absence, I agreed and helped to carry them out onto the pavement. Our street looked dead weird without cars and with flags and bunting flapping about. Mrs. O'Leary and Mrs. Singh swept the street clean. Then we all helped to put the tables and chairs out into the middle of the road. The women did all the work. The men stood around on the pavement drinking too much and making jokes about royal nuptials. Mr. Singh put his stereo speakers out of his lounge windows and we listened to a Des O'Connor LP whilst we set the tables with sandwiches, jam tarts, sausage rolls and sausages on sticks. Then everyone in our street was given a funny hat by Mrs. O'Leary and we sat down to eat. At the end of the tea, Mr. Singh made a speech about how great it was to be British. Everyone cheered and sang Land of Hope and Glory, but only Mr. Singh knew all the words. Then my father came back with four party packs of light ale and two dozen paper cups, and soon everyone was acting in an undignified manner. Mr. O'Leary tried to teach Mrs. Singh an Irish jig, but he kept getting tangled up in her sari. I put my ABBA LP on and turned the volume up high, and soon even the old people of 40 and over were dancing. When the street lamps came on, Sean O'Leary climbed up and put red, white and blue crepe paper over the bulbs to help the atmosphere, and I fetched our remaining candles and put them on the tables. Our street looked quite bohemian. Bert told some lies about the war. My father told jokes. The party went on until 1 o'clock in the morning. Normally they get a petition up if you clear your throat after 11 o'clock at night. I didn't dance. I was an amused, cynical observer. Besides, my feet were aching. Thursday, July the 30th. I have seen the royal wedding repeat 7 times on television. Friday, July the 31st, new moon. Sick to death of royal wedding. Pandora, the beggar's friend, is coming home tomorrow. Saturday, August the 1st. Postcard from my mother. She wants me to go on holiday with her and Creep Lucas. They are going to Scotland. I hope they enjoy themselves. Pandora's flight has been delayed because of a baggage handler's strike in Tunis. Sunday, August the 2nd, 7th after Trinity. The baggage handlers are still on strike, and Pandora's father has had his American Express card stolen by a beggar. Pandora said that her mother has been bitten by a camel but is recovering in the ladies' toilet at Tunis Airport. It was wonderful to hear Pandora's voice on the telephone. We talked to each other for over half an hour. How clever it was of her to arrange a reverse charge call from Tunisia.